Blog Talk Radio.
Let's go. Yeah. Ghetto children singing. See, what up? They eager to learn. How to become the next world leaders. Brave hearts. Here we are. Here we are. Here's for the people.
Egyptian mummies on a flag of a moon, and can't find food for the starving tummies. Pay no mind to the youth, cause it's not like the future depends on it. But save the animals in the zoo, cause the chimpanzee them a make big money. This is how the media pillages on TV, the picture is savages and villages, and the scientists still can't explain the pyramids. Evangelists making a living on the videos of ribs of the little kids, stereotyping the image of the images, and this is what the image is. You buy a car, keep on stand, all of a sudden you are there in the Indiana Jones. And I keep all the gold and keep all the scrolls and even the bird bones. Some of the worst paparazzi I've ever seen and ever known. Put the words on this place that the world can see, and that's all that we'll ever show. So the ones in the west will never move east and feel like we'll be at home. Get tricked by the beast, but the way them a go flee when the monster is fully grown. Salamonic lineage where them two can defeat and them could have never clone. A spiritual DNA that prints in my soul and I will forever own, Lord.
Yeah. Sabali, that's patience. What the old folks told me. Can you get with that? Discovering the world before this world. A world buried in time. Uncovered with rhymes. It's no realer.
We born not knowing, are we born knowing all? We growing wiser, are we just growing tall? Can you read thoughts? Can you read palms? Can you predict the future? Can you see storms coming? The earth was static, you went too far, you would fall off. Now the earth is round, if the shape changed again, everybody would have thought lost. The average man can't prove of most of the things that he chooses to speak of. And still run research and find out the root of the truth that you seek of. Scholars teach in universities and claim like they're smart and cunning. Tell them find a cure when we sneeze and that's when their nose starts running. And the rich get fixed up when we get cut. Wanna heal them broken bones in the bush with the wet mud. Can you read signs? Can you read stars? Can you make peace? Can you fight war? Can you milk cows? Even though you drive cars, can you survive against all odds now?
It's crazy. When you feed people the truth, you don't know how they're gonna react. You're scared of wrongdoers, people that's just ignorant. You're scared of the truth. Be patient for now. Who wrote the Bible? Who wrote the Quran? And was it a lightning storm that gave birth to the earth and then dinosaurs were born?
Who made up words? Who made up numbers? And what kind of spell is mankind under? Everything on the planet we preserve and can it. Microwave it and try it, no matter what, we'll survive it. What's you? What's man? What's human? Anything along the land we consuming. Eating, deleting, ruining. Trying to get paper. Gotta have land, gotta have acres. So I can sit back like Jack Nicholson, watch niggas play the game like the Lakers. In a world full of 52 fakers, gypsies, seances, mystical prayers. You superstitious, throw salt over your shoulders, make a wish for the day, cuz like somebody got a doll of me. Sticking needles in my artery, but I can't feel it. Sometimes it's like part of me, but I got a real big spirit. I'm fearless, I'm fearless. Don't you try to grab hold of my soul. Like a military soldier, 10-7 years old. I held real dead bodies in my arms, felt their body turn cold. Oh, why are we born in the first place if this is how we gotta go? Dang. To all the wisdom and knowledge seekers of the world. Savali. Patience. Yeah.
Free to laugh.
Robert John here. With another edition of Radio Public at the Radio.
Hello. I'm your co-host, Bumon Shakir. I'm your co-host. Jawara Akin-Bakayla.
Before I bring on the guest tonight, I'll let
global event that happened in history during this week. Event that happened in history during this week occurred on January 14, 1937, which was the born day of the elder Babasunda Arakoli. Babasunda Arakoli is a New African political prisoner of war. He had been incarcerated since 1973. He's 85 years old. Brother is an elder. He created great to movement, and the brother is not in good health. I also would like to read a few things. He's an accomplished author, writer,
reading for his book entitled, chapter entitled, Up the History of African Independence Movement, which started on page 10, Six New African Independence Movement.
And she's a Malcolm took root, took further root on March 29, 1968. On that date, Vietnam Public afterwards, March 31st, 1968. On that date, Vietnam Public Africa, RNA, was founded at a convention at the Black-owned 20 Grand Motel in Detroit. Over 500 grassroots activists came together to issue a Declaration of Independence on behalf of the oppressed black nation inside North America. A new African independent movement, NAIM, was born. Since then, blacks designed an independent black nation have referred to themselves and other black U.S. as New African. The same month, March 68, during Martin Luther King's march in Memphis, anger youth on the fringe of a march broke away and began breaking store windows, looting, and firebombing. A 16-year-old boy was killed and 50 people were injured in the ensuing violence. This left Martin profoundly shaken and questioned whether his philosophy was still able to hold the youth to a nonviolent commitment. On April 4th, he returned to Memphis, seeking an answer through one more march and find an assassin bullet. Get it exploded in flames one after another across the face of America. The philosophy of black liberation served to the forefront among the youth, but not the youth alone. Following a series of police provocation in Cleveland on July 31, 1968, New Libya movement activists there set an ambush to kill several policemen. At Fortis, Ahmaud Evans was convicted of killing and died in prison 2 years later of cancer. More CIA dope served into the ghetto from the Golden Triangle of Southeast Asia. Revolutionaries stepped up their organizing activity on both sides of the wall. Behind the wall, New African percentage steadily increased. That's page 10 and 11 from Up in History of African Struggle. And the other thing I want to read by Sunda Arakoli, it comes from a book called Some Solution or Things to Do. And this is on page 22 and 23. The title is Winning Blacks to Independence. To win blacks to independence, the first necessary that they know and understand the independence concept. Malcolm X long ago explained this concept in simpler terms. In effect, he said our schools do not work for us, not because they aren't integrated, but because we don't control them. They are labeled segregated, not because they are all black, but because we don't control them. White schools are all white, yet they are not labeled segregated, because whites control their own schools and ours too. He applied the same reason to why our communities are black ghetto colonies, not because they are all black, because we don't control the economic, political, and social aspects of them. We don't control our communities. The businesses are controlled by outside finances. House is controlled by outside landlords. Politics, police, health, and social service. Every major institution is controlled by outside administration. That makes us a colonized people. The first concern of a colonized people is independence. The fundamental tactic of winning blacks is independent is waging a widespread agitation, educated campaign throughout the black nation by talking up, discussing, debating, and using every available technique to clarify and spread independent concepts, ideas, and slogans that persuade blacks to independence. Police murder, brutality, high unemployment, drugs, high crime, high prices, bad housing, bad school, prison, poor medical care, corrupt politicians, Uncle Tom media, etc. are all prime issues to agitate around and spread the concept of black independence and control our own affairs as a concrete solution. Tactics for black political party include laying out the ideological foundation of black independence at the first step and formulating political lines to win blacks' independence. A number of political blacks still labor under the illusion that independence as a goal is apolitical, bourgeois, reactionary, even racist. This is incorrect and must be thoroughly rooted out at the ideological level. Scientific socialism fundamentally and consistently upholds the right of oppressed nation to self-determination, including the right to secede. And these concepts must be thoroughly spread throughout the black nation. Black United Front should engage in a national campaign to unify around the position of independence. Agitation and education should focus on the oppressive nature of black life, stemming primarily from the fact that we do not control the economic, political, and social aspects of our communities. Black organizations can win blacks to independence through practicing independent and socially based politics in the organizations spreading these concepts throughout the community. A viable network of independent institutions organized on socially principles that serve the concrete needs of the people is, in itself, one of the best means of spreading independent concepts and a living example of it. The Black Provisional Government can spread independent ideas by advocating for the cessation of the Black Urban District from City Hall, patrolled with similar efforts in Black counties and the Black Belt South. It also educates Blacks on the necessity to switch their allegiance to independent politics. The Black Army can contribute for organizing and fight under the independence and socialist banner and carry out armed. Hold up. And carry out armed propaganda to their effect. Known black prisoners should be declared themselves POWs, captured in the struggle for black independence. The Black Vanguard can contribute by setting priority in the initial stage on winning blacks to independence or harnessing the full weight of the black movement toward attaining this goal. This is reading from Solution of Things Do by Baba Sunada Cody. You know, if you don't know who the brother is, you can look him up on the internet. There's also a couple of flyers floating around that aid in his release. You know, so he also can write him and reach out to him and learn for yourself exactly what's going on and get a better understanding of the brother. You have to show support. And tonight, I'd like to welcome to the show Brother Manolo Rose. How you doing, Blue, bro? Relax.
I'm good, man. I'm good. Just listening to y'all.
Yes,
sir.
Even
a good
yes,
world,
sir.
Man. That's all.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, man.
How
first,
y'all,
I like.
Feeling?
I'm feeling well, bro. I'm feeling well. First, I like to thank you for coming onto their platform, man. Share your knowledge, wisdom, and understanding, and thank you for your commitment, man. You know, whatever you do, pushing forward, man. Wish you the best, right? You know,
definitely.
Okay, before we get into this, man, tell a little people a little bit about yourself, man, so they know who you are, exactly who you are, what you do, what you stand for, you know, what you live by, you know.
Yeah, I'm, like brother.
Can't hear you, bro.
It's a brother, man. You hear me?
Now, speak up a little bit.
You hear me now? Yeah, I hear you. Go ahead.
I'm just, you know me, I'm just a brother, man, just out here living just like everybody else. And I stand what I stand for, you know, the same principles, the Malcolm X doctrine, and so forth and so on. I don't want to be too long, but, you know, just like that.
Okay. Okay. You know, one thing I realized that is your age, man. You're considered a youth, still in your young 20s, right?
Right?
You know, what actually inspired you or influenced you to look more to the African independent movement and also declare new African citizenship? What inspired you, motivated you? What were the catalysts that caused that? What was it about that? You know.
Well, I had a journey to get to that point, but I think what really inspired me one time. I was reading. I started to look into more of just the liberation struggle, and coming across so many different brothers that was, you know, just a part of that. You know, just a part of that struggle, especially, and I think the very first time, matter of fact, I had we was doing something for, even Khalil Alameen, and, this was a while ago, you know, and we was doing something, a little different breaker for him, and stuff like that, and then that's the first time I kind of, like, heard of it, you know, just the like PGRNA and things like that. And just, you know, just those different types of organizations that dealt with the African independence movement. So I was like, okay, cool. And from there, I just started to read. And then once I started to read, like, Blood in My Eyes and Soul of Dad Brother and stuff like that, and I just really got in tune with, you know, the brother that was involved, a lot of the things that was going on with the prisoners, so forth and so on. And that's what I was like, oh, yeah, this is something I would like, you know what I mean, that I wholeheartedly embrace, something that I totally agree with, I started to really understand, you know, just going back into seeing, you hear something, but you don't actually know where it comes from, but you're hearing it, you know, and some of the things that Malcolm was saying and some, you know, these brothers, they was all saying, it started, you know, really resonating with me. And I was like, oh, that's what Malcolm was saying. That's, you know, what he was talking about, and, you know, and stuff like that. So, yeah, that's what kind of led me more or less to it.
Okay. Okay. You know, I have a question, right? You know, by your newfound, new African consciousness, right, And you relating to the hip hop industry and the quarter industry, the music industry, right? Have you ran across anyone that also can relate to your politics, or have you even influenced other individuals to look more into what you're talking about and actually want to get involved themselves? Or where do you stand in regards to that?
Sometimes you may run into some brothers that have somewhat of a agreement. I was in Atlanta with Shaka Zulu. I did a bunch of stuff in his studio. So me and him is like, you know what I mean, real tight. I was there for probably like about 6 months doing a bunch of shows there with him. And then some of the brothers, yeah, they listen to you and they start to get into some of the stuff that you're into. But a lot of them they don't. You know, a lot of these brothers right now, they're really into, they have a false sense of history in regards to, and it's not their fault, it's just because what was fed to us, you know, when it comes, like, a lot of times, you know, you hear just the civil rights movement, and then you hear from civil rights movement, then all you hear is maybe just the Black Panther Party, and...
Yeah.
Then that's it. You know, it's like you don't really hear nothing about none of these other groups. You know, you don't really hear anything like that. Being that our history is kind of history is co-opted and then it's forced back to us in the form of holidays and things like that. So being that as it may, you know, you end up getting praising people like John Lewis and stuff like that because that's how it was given to you, you know? And not to speak bad on the brother because he's dead, but I'm just saying, like, you know, you may hear see him get a full-blown funeral where Bill Clinton is speaking. And Bill would say out his mouth things like, thank God for men like John Lewis, because in a moment there, the movement was starting to head in the direction of Stokely and stuff like that. You know, this is what was said at his funeral. So you get force-fed these type of things. So these are the ideologies that you think is just there, you know, and it's like you even get a full sense of, like, Martin Luther King. They give you this watered-down version of, or just no portion of, like, no timeline. They just give you this one descriptive image of him, and then that's what you get. And they kind of trying to do the same thing with Malcolm now, but that's what I'm saying. So these brothers, that they're not really aware of these things. So when you tell them some of these things, like, it's very eye-opening, you know? So some of them, they buy in. Some of them be like, nah, I didn't know that. Or some of them just feel like, you know, they feel like they could mix them all up and then, you know, try to make their own thing.
True indeed. You know, you mentioned Brother Shaka Zulu previously, right? Shaka, for the people don't know, Shaka Zulu was born a country average citizen. His mother was the late Dr. Fulani Sunni Ali, and his dad is Baba Atma Abafumi. You know, in regards to that, you know, he had a close relationship with Tupac Amaru Shakur, who was also a country African citizen, right? Now, in regards to all of that, right, do you think that possibly in the near future that you will write something that would be geared toward new African political prisoner, against a new African Indian movement, or you are working on something already like that, or it even be able to perform at certain events for you for the PG? What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, definitely. It just that with me, you know, it's things that I've done that is geared towards that, yeah, definitely. But for me, some of these things I try to just shy away from because I've learned that, you know, when you I feel like sometimes you gotta have a place in what you want to do in regards to, you know, and for the movement itself. And I'm kind of like just figuring that out, you know what I'm saying? Like trying to just figure out where I want to fit myself in and insert myself into that. Now, as far as like performing and stuff like that, records like that for the PG and all, PG or whatever, definitely I'll do that. That's nothing. But it's just so hard because, you know, I learned now, like if I go on Instagram and I talk like, you know, myself, like how me and you talking right now and the things we're talking about right now, they just a shadow ban my whole page, you know what I'm saying? And I realized that as well. So I'm dealing with that, you know what I mean, myself. So I'm learning, like, how to figure it out and how to fit it in. And you know, as I every time I drop a tape, it's always at least two records that's geared towards that. Always, you know, that's definitely just going to always be there because that's just me. And I'm just learning how to, you know, sneak it in and give people little bits and pieces of, you know what I'm saying, of what it is that we really stand for. Because I feel like with this in its totality, in all honesty, this is something that it's never going to be a lot of. You know what I mean? It's never going to be a lot of. Because they just not, and I don't blame them, you know, this country is not going to allow you to mask a movement and make it as, you know, as big as it can be. Because they did that before and they saw what happened, so they kind of learned from that too. So what they start doing is, when you start talking like this, so you could go from 50,000, you could have 50,000 followers, and you could only start reaching 100 people, 1,000 people, because it's their shit, so they can do that as a shit. So it's kind of difficult.
That's quite interesting, man. It also shows the masses that the power of oppression, the power of control, the manipulation, and how the enemy aborts certain things, especially when it comes to propagation, anything that is an indication of talking about any kind of independence in regards to against the out of their system, right? That it showed the people what's going on in regards to all that,
definitely,
man. Give you a crystal clear understanding.
Yeah, like
it
like,
messed up in a lot of ways, but you know it is what it is, you know.
Yeah, you know what? You see, me personally, I don't blame you. You know what I mean? Because for you know, if it's me, and we have to look at it from a realistic standpoint. If this is a war, whether it's a hot war or whether it's just a war of the mind, if you have you know, control over shit, I wouldn't just get my power up either. You know, somebody's gonna have to take it from me. And that's just what we just gonna have to do. We have to learn and realize that we're in a war. Like, I think that's our number one problem, I feel like. We the only people who don't realize we are in a war. That's the problem, so, you know.
True indeed, man. You know, the actual flag is the way it is in regards to the color depiction. It's similar to a war flag. We're in a war for land and independence. You know, until
right.
we win that, you know, then we're going to be in a particular state that we are. You know, as a provisional government, as a people that strive for independence on all levels. Like Malcolm X
right.
said about enemy and necessary, right? You know, I also understand that you've been supporting various new political prisoners, and also more than advocating the Black Hawk of Resistance, right? What makes you want to promote the freedom of new African political prisoners? You know what I'm saying, why is that something that's dear to you?
Yeah, you know, well, my a good friend of mine, brother of mine, comrade, he was locked up. He did about 20 years in the feds, and he was with Doc McCool's Corps. He was also with Sundiata. So they kind of like, you know, they raised him up in prison, you know, while he was in there. And me and him, you know, he's, you know, real close to me. So me and him, you know, started to get into these conversations, you know, just talking about these things. And as we conversing about these things, he started, you know, just informing me on what was going on. And also, he was sending me, like, you know, personal letters, that personal little things, little writings, little essays that they were writing it inside the prison. And like I said, when I first, you know, got into some of this information, it was through Jalil Alameen. So I was, like, the imam or whatever, and I was like, oh, like, you know what I'm saying? So I was like, damn, this is ill right here. Like, you know, just the connection, everything just came back full circle. So I was just like, I have to promote this as much as possible. So just like they had the other day for Sundiata, they had the fast on for him or whatever. And I fasted, you know, with the brothers or whatever, and, you know, signing the petitions and as much as whatever else, you know, could be done. I did that as well. So I feel like these brothers need to come home. You know, they're getting up in age. You know, they you know, and they really stood for something. These are true gangsters to me. You know what I mean? In every sense of the word,
yeah.
You know? So, you know, I really hold these brothers really near and dear to me because, you know, me coming from the streets and me being a street guy and me being out here and, you know what I mean, and going through some of these circumstances, I understand the difference between what I was doing and what they were doing. I'm like, nah, them dudes really, you know what I'm saying? They was really with it. So I'm like, you know, if somebody got to, people that's out here in the street, out here in the free world, as they call it, they have to make a stand on each other and try their best just to get them free and to let them know that they're not forgotten out here and the work that they put in wasn't in vain as well. So that's one reason why I really, 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 you know, stand an advocate for these brothers.
Okay. Well, that's a good reason. I'm going to ask you a couple more questions. I'm going to pass now to Minister Akin Bekele, right?
Right.
My next question is, right, how long have you been making music, and what type of mark which you would like to leave through your music and your work to the youth?
Well, I've been making music probably no longer than 6 years, so it didn't really take me that long to get a record deal and stuff like that. That didn't take long. And I just kind of, like, really fall back into the writing thing more because it's just easier. I always just, like, enjoy my freedom of just being able to walk around and kind of, like, you know, have a minimal success of fame, like a minimal sense of fame. But so I'd rather just, you know, play the background a lot more than being up front. But as far as, like, my mark in music, I just think that I just want the youth to just be as creative as they possibly can and don't let nobody box you in. You know what I'm saying? Because if you look at, like, a Tupac or whatever, you know, just as much as he wrote A Dead Mom, he also wrote I Get Around, you know? So it's just don't let people box you in and stop you from being able to have fun just as well as, you know, being conscious of what the hell is going on out there, too.
Okay. Yeah, that's understandable in regards to a lot of things, man. You got to A person got to be genuine to themselves before they be genuine to anybody else. Be the best version of yourself, no matter what that is. You know, no matter how people view it, be the best version of yourself. You know, everybody has their own ideology, their own direction, their own plight in life. You know, so that's very important. Well, have that knowledge yourself, right? You know, what actually was the motivating force that gave you something in the form of consciousness that awakened you to anything? You know, what actually awakened you to want to seek knowledge and information or just want to be a peer? You know what I'm saying? What was that caused that?
I watched a movie. I watched Malcolm X. And me watching the movie Malcolm X, the one that Spike Lee did or whatever.
Okay.
Had watched the movie, and me just looking at the movie, I was just like, yo, I want to learn that. Whatever it is that he was learning, I wanted to learn it. And that's just from the film. So I had got with my uncle one time, and my uncle's a 5%er, member of the Nation of Guards and Nurse. And he gave me the lessons, as they referred to, you know, the lost found Muslim lessons or whatever. And he was like, you want to learn that? This is what he was learning. So I actually took the same kind of like journey as Malcolm. So I studied that. And then as I was studying the lessons and learning the lessons, memorizing the lessons, and him teaching me supreme mathematics, the supreme alphabet, I was like, all right. So once I, you know, had those things down, I was like, okay. So then from there, I was like, I don't know, you know, about any. So I accepted becoming an Orthodox Muslim and stuff like that. So I practiced Salafi Islam for maybe about a good 10 years. And, you know, as I became just a little bit more in my understanding there, because I really was like a real avid student there. I was a real learner, so I would, you know, fast it every day. Things like that at all the classes, studying the Arabic, you know, learning things like that and really learning from, so I really learned it with the religion. And as I learned it and learned more of it, I kind of just started to get a understanding of it and a little distaste for it as time progressed, when I just seen the conflict, these things of causes and the on the consciousness of itself with, you know, the role that Arab played and how we got here. And I was just like, yo, can't, you know, part of it. So I was like, you know, I stepped back and had just a deeper understanding of who I am as a person, and just came back to my roots. And that was just back to the Prophet Nation. And as I was there, you know, that's what kind of led me into just other things and studying other, you know, all these other different sciences, you know, and that's what really got me into it, with the movie that actually played a role in it. And then I later on learned that the movie, like, wasn't as good as I thought it was, you know, when you start learning the actual history.
Okay.
So
Okay, you know, to be honest, you know what I'm saying, when I read out of Malcolm X myself and I read the book, that actually prepared me for the journey that I've been doing since then, you know, and it actually sparked something in the flame in me that I was at an insatiable hunger that I want to learn everything. I wanted to do what Malcolm was doing. I wanted to be a duplicate of Malcolm. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But my thing was that I didn't want to be a part of the Nation of Islam. So I chose some of the same path like you did. You know, I started learning about the five sons. Nation of Earth. Right. I started, you know what I'm saying, especially significant boy with the sun, moon, the sun, the moon, stars, the significant earth, and the astrological significance, and the symbolism, and they gave me a form of power that I didn't have, that I didn't know I didn't have. Gave me a form of power, like, you know, I'm God. I'm supreme being. I'm a supreme mind, you know. They gave me a form of power, a form of liberation, a form of freedom, a form of independence, you know, to be an independent thinker, you know. A lot of times people look at certain things and being cocky as well, you know.
Right, they do look at it from that standpoint. It's like you were saying, I was doing the same thing. Like when I read the autobiography, so that made me go into get like being that he mentioned like Souls of Black Folk, sex and race and things like that. So I started just to get these books, and then I started to dig into like Jay Rogers and Royce and all these things. So I did the same thing. I was just like, yo. In my mind, as I read more and learned more, I just became more fascinated and more like a sponge because I just wanted everything. I wanted to know everything, just as much as possible. So I really, like I said, it all started and sparked a film. It wasn't even a book first. It was an actual film that led me to actually read the book.
True indeed. You know what I'm saying? Those are good books, you know what I'm saying? So, like, I was on the same tip in regards to, like, a lot of books he was talking about it in the autobiography. I wanted to read those as well. I wanted to know more about the individual that he was talking about, get a better in-depth understanding. You know, and in regards to that understanding, do you have an African name? And if so, what is that? What does it mean?
Oh, it's Siddiqui Asghari Damu. So it's just the truth of warrior blood.
Say what?
Siddiqui Asghari Damu. So it's just truthful warrior blood.
Okay. And what language are those words?
Swahili.
Swahili, okay. Okay. What made you adopt an African name? Was it more of a aspect of gaining a new identity, a new consciousness, or you wanted to have something that identified you? Identify with you outside, how you take personal. What was it?
I think it was a combination of the two. I think it was both. I think it was coming into a new identity and also, a new consciousness, but then also having a new identity as well as when you're coming into a new consciousness. Because I was unaware, like, of. A lot of the things that were done to us were so psychological, and more so not necessarily because everybody focuses when they focus on things like slavery, they focus just more on the beating and the brutal aspects of it because those things are true and they're all true, but they don't really focus on the mental effects those things have because. Colonizer now has, just established what a human is and what it looks like for you. He done established that, and he established himself in a hierarchy system and saying that he's a higher human, and everything else is just like whatever, or subhuman, or if they, in some cases, they treat us as if we weren't human at all. So we lost so much, and we started to hate things that came from us, things that we, things that we created and things that we practiced, we started to hate them so much. So when I came into this, I started to really learn, like, a lot of those things that they say tell you is incorrect. Like, you might see somebody practicing some type of African spirituality, Ifa, and all these types of things, and they, you know, tell you this is some type of devil worship and things like that, you know, and you really can buy into it. You really start to believe that shit. And it kind of destroys the psyche on what that looks like in Africa. And when it comes to Africa, you start to hate it. You know, you're just looking at it on TV. They show you kids with flies all over them. So you're like, man, I don't want to be that. You know, so when I came into the consciousness of being a new African and really hearing that, you know, being broken down as to, you know, why you refer to yourself as such, I was just like, yo, yeah, that, you know what I'm saying? I was just really blown away and fascinated. So I came into a better understanding of who I am as a person and my relation to the continent and my relation to this country and the brothers that came to this country, the ones that were here, the ones that were brought here, you know, and the brothers that fought and died on this joint and how they, you know, carry themselves and why. And I was like, yo, yeah, I have to adopt me. I want to adopt me as well.
True indeed, man. You know, history is one of the most potent weapons that we have, man, beside our mind. Because it had the aspect of either liberating us, giving the independence. It had the aspect of either entrapping us and incarcerating us in a situation, a system that we're not a part of, right?
Right.
And with that being said, I have one more question. I'm going to pass it on to Minister Akin Bekele. My next question is, by you being a youth, what are some of the things that you think that the new African independent movement, the division of government from Africa, can do to gain their attention and get more youth involved and get more youth active? What are some of the things that you think yourself? From your own perspective.
I honestly feel like it's present. I think that especially on some of these platforms like YouTube, it's not really, you don't really see it, it's not there. You have people that, you know, do little videos here and there, but it's not really like pushed. You know what I'm saying? I think that's something that needs to be done. Just think it's really more like present. And in that presence, it has to be, you know, it has to come to the point of where it has to be, you know, placed in their face. Because if you don't see something, you just can't really get involved because you don't see it. You know, and being that you don't see it, that's the hard part about it. But I also understand that just as much as, you know, they're going to make it as hard as they possibly can to see it. So I think I would suggest some of the brothers, you know, start doing some interviews or either myself, being, you know, me and you linked up. I'll try to get you, like, some interviews and stuff on a bigger platform that's on YouTube, that's quote-unquote in the conscious world. Because I think even there, you know, brothers don't know. It's brothers that believe themselves to be conscious, but have no idea. If you start saying a name like a Sintiata Toli, or they wouldn't even know. You know, they remember Asada Sator, but they won't remember the men that went to jail for liberating Asada Sator, which is very weird to me, but that's just what's going on. So, you know, these brothers, they try to bury these brothers, you know. So, you know, and this is in the conscious world. These are so-called conscious people. But they totally have no idea of any of these things. And it's kind of frustrating, too, because you hear them and you listen to them talk, and it's like, man, if they just knew, you know? You know, because, like, it's like one day I seen, like, for instance, I seen Diddy when the elections was first going around, and he was like, yo, we need our own political party and stuff like that. And he was saying that, and I was like, we already have that. And y'all should come over here, you know, and as much as you try to tell them, it's just hard too, because I remember when the brothers like Yoruba Ben Wahad and Jamal Joseph, they had the meeting with T.I. and they were trying to, you know what I mean, break these things down so them to tell them to come over here. You know, y'all got all this money, y'all got the influence, let's just come over here. We already have this is already going on. But he didn't, you know. He left saying he would, but then when he left, it turned into, you know what I'm saying, that the money is going to get us out, out of it. So it turns into that. You know what I'm saying? So that's the hard part about it. So like I said, I think it's just present. And you just have to be in these people's face. They have to see it in order to, you know, want to get involved. And I think that even some of these things, when they're doing some of these things in the street, you know, these demonstrations, some of these demonstrations in the street, as much as a lot of us don't want to, you know, go to these things and be a part of them because of some of the politics, it is shitty politics. But at the same time, that's all they think. That's another thing, too. So, like I said, present. Because if you go into these marches and all you see is Black Lives Matter posters and things like that, you know, on Instagram, then that's all they know. So now when they go out there, they just turn into that. And then, you know, that's what they're going to be. That's what they're going to see. That's what they're going to be a part of. It's a shitty situation. That's it.
True indeed. Again, brother, I thank you for the information that you just shared, you know, and I would just I long to see you more involved in the movement, and I look forward to your future. With that said, I'm going to say free the land. I'm going to pass on to Minister Akin McKaylee. The Ashton Minister Akin McKaylee, open the line for a few callers. Free the land.
Necessary.
Right. Yes,
free the land, brother.
By any means necessary. Yes. How you doing?
Yes, I am. I'm doing wonderful. Thank you again for giving me the time to be on the show. I really appreciate that. As well as the listeners of the radio show. I guess my first question to kick it off. As an artist, who would you say is your target audience who you write your music for?
I would say more or less just the average person that's in the, I would say in the street more or less, because this is where I come from. This is my background. And so, and like I was just telling the brother, you know, I frequent these records in there for that as well. So it touches a lot of different people because, and I can tell about how you greet me, I can know where you resonate with me at. You know what I'm saying? So it, you know, just the brother in the street, also some conscious brothers, and so forth and so on. So I could tell how you identify me with, because it's a lot of things in there that I may sprinkle in. So it might be something in regards to like what we're talking about today, and then it also might be things that from the 5% Nation that I know when you greet me, that's how you gonna, you know what I mean? I can tell, you know what I'm saying? So I can tell how a person, what portion and parts of me that people resonate with the most. So it'd be a multitude, a mixed bag of people when it's like that.
All right. And so I guess my follow-up to that will be, from what you commented on earlier, about how you still maneuvering and trying to figure out, you know, how you want to position your name and how you want to move and what you want to stand behind and things of that nature.
Right.
Do you think that as a whole, based on other artists that are out there, how do you differentiate between not wanting to be solely about having a check, and as opposed to doing more for the community, standing up on what you actually believe in? Like, how do you see yourself being able to differentiate between the two? Like, you know, when it comes down to, you know, some record exec somewhere being like, well, I need you to do this record, but, you know, if it totally goes against, you know, where you want to be and what your ideals is, how do you think you would be able to differentiate between that?
Oh.
And then as a whole for other artists, how do you think that differentiation goes between, you know, other artists and things of that nature?
Right. It's extremely easy for me because I've been in those situations. And you just don't – for me, I just wouldn't do it. You know what I mean? And I if I have to explain why. Because, see, a lot of times people think that these guys are coming to you and telling you, yo, do this and do that. But they really aren't. You know, we just – that may have been like that back in the days. But it's not like that anymore because, you know, a lot of the artists today, they have this, you have total control over, you know, your audience in the sense that, like, you can you speak directly to them, you know. So you kind of build yourself up without the label, you know. Only thing that the label really does is put the mass marketing money behind you. That's what really blow you up. It's really the marketing that is done, you know what I mean, for you. But a lot of these dudes, they don't, you know, so like I said, for me, if it's me and the person comes to me and they like, yo, they ask me about a certain person or certain thing, music, whatever, and I'm just like, nah, I'm not doing it. You know, like, you know, because it ain't, it just isn't me, and I'm not going to sell my soul just for a little bit of money. Because at the end of the day, it's like some of this shit, it don't even be worth it. Now, how do you differentiate? I think that shit is really hard, though, too, because see, if somebody is, you know, if I'm living in the projects and I'm hungry or I'm making it day-to-day, check-to-check, or my mother's making it day-to-day, check-to-check, and I'm trying to, you know, get her out of this situation to the best of my ability, and somebody comes and says, listen, you know, don't make XYZ type of music that much, like, if one of these A&Rs or something comes, you'll be like, well, you know, you shouldn't really make this type of music. Maybe you could get way more money doing this. That's kind of hard, too. That's why I don't really knock nobody when they, you know, when they fall for it and go for it, because it's like, you know, I don't have it to replace that money for you, you know. And I'm not going to tell a brother, like, yo, don't try to get no money, because, you know, at the end of the day, we don't control none of this stuff here. And being that we're not in control, then, you know, when rent due, you know, what I'm going to tell him is when he gets evicted. All right, shit, you know? So it's like I just try to tell people, man, hold as much of yourself as you possibly can. You know, meaning the pieces of yourself, don't compromise so much to where you get lost and you lose yourself, because that happens a lot of times too. You know, brothers just totally forget where the hell they are. And it comes solely about the money. Well, you got to try to find that balance to the best of your ability, because if you don't, you know, you can tilt too far one way or too far other way. And also, you have to learn to live with the outcome of that. Whatever decisions you make in your life, you got to learn to live with the outcome. So now, you know, if you put yourself in a situation, a position that you really don't want to be in, and now you're getting used and abused while you're in that situation, then shit. You know, you gotta live with that. And if you choose that other way of sticking to your, you know, who you are as a person without compromising at all, without bending for nothing, and you end up with nothing financially, you have to accept that too.
I got you. I definitely understand that. And that exactly what you just spoke about is one concept that I know the provisional government really tries to help instill in its new African citizens, and that's cooperative economics. Because I feel like if you had those cooperative economics, then, you know, it won't necessarily have to be about the money, and some of those brothers won't have to, you know, just go after the check, because you will have a whole village, a whole community that's there to help you to build, you know, when you don't have it, so you won't have to go and just do anything for the check. So, yeah, I definitely see what you mean about that. And as I said, the PG, that's one of the things that we try to build upon for your citizens as well. I guess my next question would be, when you find yourself in that particular struggle, What do you call upon? Like, what is it that, you know, you reach back and be like, hey, you know, this is how I feel, this is what I stand on. Like, for you, what is it that keeps your true north? Like, well, I know you you know, you read about Malcolm and the brothers from the past, but like specifically, like when you come into a situation, what's the first thing you think about? Was like, hey, nah, this is gonna go against, you know, what I'm trying to do, and kind of walk us through that thought process to how you stay grounded and you stay centered, given everything that may come across you and be presented to you on a daily basis, given what you do.
Yeah, definitely. I think what really keeps me grounded is just, you know, the things that I've read. So let's say, for instance, like, you know, anytime I'm faced with any situation like that, like say if it's something with like you're talking about in regards to, like, you know, that middle line, and, you know what I mean, not falling victim to certain things, I just think I just rely on, like, what I refer to as my own forms of the Bible and Quran, and that stuff, like, you know, like a blood in my eyes, or like a meditation of fearing for known by Yaki cells or whatever, and things like that. I fall on those things. I think, though, that is the foundation, because it kind of gives you a blueprint of, like, how you're supposed to stand as a man, you know what I'm saying, and really give you that foundation of, like, yo, nah, I'm not compromising. I'm not bending over. Put it like that, you know, like, I'm just not bending over for this right here. And I think that just those types of things and people, in the words that they wrote, it just made me just feel like, it gives me a sense of power. It gives me a sense of strength and a backbone that I know, like, nah, even if I got to go all the way out, I just got to go all the way out, and that's just what it is, you know? So, you know, I look to these brothers as inspiration and as, you know, just a real sense of force and power, and how I hold them near and dear. Like, I refer to them as such. I look at them just as how somebody would read the Bible and look at these prophets, Moses, David. You know, those are my Davids and Moses to me. You know, so as long as I stay rooted and founded in these teachings, I know I would die with no blemish on my record, on my jacket. You know, now I live a perfect life in that sense. I die perfect.
That makes sense. I appreciate that. But for those other listeners who may be, you know, struggling with that type of decision, I appreciate that perspective from you on that. I guess one more question that I have, and then we can open it up the line to other callers who may have questions as well. Given that, you know, you have a relatively short career in the industry or whatnot, where do you want your career to go, so to speak? Like, you know, when it's 15, 20 years down the line, and as you look back over your career, what are some of the things that you hope to have accomplished for yourself and for the people who you write your music for?
Well, definitely for myself, I just want to be able. I just want to look back and like the things that we mentioned, and be able to say, I never, you know, sold out. For me, now for my people, it's only one thing that I would want, and that's to, you know what I'm saying, for us to have our own land and full autonomy of ourselves. Now, the people that listen to the music, I just want them to have fun, enjoy it, learn some things, laugh about some things, cry about some things, you know? And, you know, and that's just from an artist perspective. That's probably more so what I would really, really, really do. You know what I'm saying? Just, when I look back, I want it to be just like that. Hopefully, you know, it will be. As long as I stay the course.
Cool. Well, I appreciate that. And I guess at this time, Brother Minister Bomani, I will yield to those callers on the phone who might have questions and things of that nature. Thank you again, Brother, for your time and being on the show.
You know it.
Okay. I appreciate that, Brother Minister. If you have any, calls, I mean, you have any questions or comments, please press 1. I open your line up. If there are any questions or comments at the time, press 1, open your line up. Open your line up. If you have any questions or comments, Let me see. 901-480. You got any question or comment or statement? Your line's open. You do it at time. 901-480. You got any question, comment, statement? The line is open. Please do so at time. Now 01480, your line is open. Okay. Move to another caller right quick. 786-768. You have any question, comment, statement? Your line is open. Lead us to the time. 786-768, your line is open. Seven eight six, your line is up. You have a question, comment, statement.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, you know what I'm saying? I actually got a question, brother. How important is it for political education during this time right now? How important is political education during this time that we're going through right now? 2022, COVID, oppression, sin, holy, we're trying to change certain things. How important is political education during this time?
I think it's extremely important, and it really is, because you're getting forced so much false information, misinformation, and some of the information is just all mixed up and jumbled and one and two. And I even learned for myself, like when we first had the first shutdown, and I live in New York, so we had like a full-blown shutdown where it was like you could barely even go outside, things like that, and everything was closed. And I started just really delve back into things that I read before. And I was like, you know, I started to read Soldier Story by Kowalski, by Lagoon, right? And then I was reading the back. He was even going through, like, workouts of when you were in, like, you know, confined spaces, when you can't, you know, get out, things like that. And you locked in, and how you stay fit, how you keep yourself sharp, how you keep your mind sharp, things like that. And I was so glued into everything that he was doing. I was just like amazed by that, and it even helped me get into myself and things that I was like, damn, I need to, let me do that, you know. So that, I think that those aspects of the just learning these things is extremely important, because it's so much information out there, but it's so you get fed, you know, what the first thing that you see. So you can get confused about a lot of things, be unsure about a lot of things, and get caught up in these things, and you get political things that you're standing on can be all messed up, you know what I mean? And you can be unaware, you know, you're so unaware of what's going on, you don't even really know what the fight is or what the fight is about. And you're trying to figure it out, you know? Trying your best, you're trying your hardest to figure it out. And you want to do something right, but you end up going out there doing something wrong because you're just not politically educated, you know? But your heart is in a good place. And I think that's what's happening a lot right now. You know, brothers don't even really know the difference. That's where they stand with and where they stand in this political climate. And being that as a man, even though they have good hearts, they end up doing wrong things, you know, and pushing piss-poor ideology because they aren't educated. But you see people wanting to be involved and they want to engage, they just don't know how. And I think that's why it's important to really educate yourself right now in these days and times.
Okay. I appreciate that, brother. I'm going to open the line for a caller.
786-768. Your line is open. Any question, comment, or statement. Read this with us on your line.
Yeah, free to land. Yeah, respect to the young. Huh?
I hear you. Go ahead, bro.
Yeah, so, yeah, I want to respect to the young soldier, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying, back just listening to you, right? You know what I'm saying? You're hitting a lot of different levels, you know what I'm saying? I respect that. You know what I'm saying? You know, there's a lot of things that you said, you know. There's a lot of things you said. I respect that, there. So, you know, I just want to say this. Yeah, just continue doing what you're doing, you know. Just continue doing what you're doing. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Just continue doing what you're doing, young souls. You know what I'm saying? Hey, there's a whole lot of things you said, though, bro. There's a whole lot of things you said. And I'm, you know, I'm just sitting back observing, you know. Like, how old you say years again?
Yeah, I'm 34.
You 34, okay, right on. So I'm, you know, I'm just sitting back and it feel good because it's like the way that you spin. I know that like to the like your other young brothers out there, like who you deal with, you be schooling them too. You know, that's the main thing. You know, like when the call over, when the call over and all that, like the radio show over, then you go back out here. You understand what I'm saying? So this always makes you that you give it to them too. You know, heavy.
Definitely.
You know.
Definitely.
Yes, sir. Yeah, so I'm a year with that. You know, I just want to say free the land and, like hopefully you run for administration one day or, you know, you claim your new African, you know what I'm saying, citizenship or whatever, you know?
Yeah, definitely. I've done that, too. I've had, been on the calls in a while, but when we were doing the training courses and things like that, We had a bunch of people, but sometimes the president was on there, I did that, definitely.
Right. I'm a year at that, but you know, all I'm going to say is free the land, so to stay strong, all
right? Right, by any means necessary, definitely, brother. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Okay. We appreciate you calling in, Conrad. Mr. Akin, do you have any more questions for the bro?
Not at this time. I guess the only thing I can say is, brother, when can we get you back on the show for round two?
Yeah. Anytime. You know, as long as I'm free, I'm down. You know, I'm always down to come, you know, down to speak with you, brother. You know, I love these conversations because I think it's something, even for myself. You know, you don't really get to have these types of conversations much like, you know, with you, you know, you out here in the world. But, you know, I'm walking in so many different places and doing so many other different things that outside of this, that it's kind of hard to really get these type of, you know what I mean, to get these type of dialogues with brothers, you know, that's in it and understand it, been in it for a while and, you know, really have a real grasp and full understanding. So I learned a lot from, you know, Brother Bomani and stuff like that. I learned from y'all. You know, I see the things y'all saying, and, you know what I'm saying, the things y'all mentioning, and, you know, going through my own research and looking through these things and really digging into them. So I even enjoy just seeing y'all brothers, you know, doing what y'all do as well.
Appreciate that. And I guess one other thing. I heard what you said about the fact that, you know, we need to start getting out and be more in front of the people and, you know, be more visible. Right. And the PG, under, you know, Minister Bomani and myself, we are looking at providing more content for new Africans who are wanting to find out more about the PGRNA and things of that nature. I don't know if Bomani has your information, but when we put out digital newsletters and things of that nature, can we, you know, provide it to you and then, you know, you provide it to those people who you feel would take heed and be more receptive of it. That way we can try to get the information to as many people as possible so that we can try to build it up, you know, as best we can.
Right, definitely. That
that's definitely Ethan. Yeah, he has my information. Another thing I would say too, just in just like you know, the visibility, like you're saying, and also even the brothers that's in the PGRNA, because me and the brother had this type of talk before. But I was saying, you know, because you know when you are part of some of these cadres or whatever, they give you like a list of books and things that they think what you have or that they feel like you should have as like study guide that they give you, and a lot of the books aren't available or just hard to get, you know. And I was saying that too, like even amongst people that are conscious citizens, that a lot of those books that was on it when I was asking about it, it was like when you get them. So I was saying maybe it was a disconnect some point or somewhere where it was, you know, it was like hard to change some of the stuff, especially by a lot of his work hard to get. And I was like, you got to at least be able to get it in yourself. And so, yeah, that's another thing, too, with the size of the cards that connect, you know, and do the study together. So, too, I think that would be something that would be dope, too.
All right. Appreciate that advice. And definitely, we will be moving forward and try to get this out to the masses, and try to get as many people to figure out that there is another option. You know, you don't always have to get it from the people that control everything. We can be self-sufficient ourselves, and that's eventually what the goal is, but to be able to produce for ourselves, to be able to control our own major means of production and things of that nature. And it is a protracted struggle, but it's a struggle nonetheless. So brothers like yourself and the PG and everybody that dedicated their lives to getting this work done, it's definitely going to be something that we're going to have to all get together and, you know, leave our egos and all that other type of stuff at the door, and just be about the work of nation building for our own selves and for our ancestors that we're standing on the shoulders of in this world that we're trying to maneuver through currently in 2022. Thank you again, brother.
Right. Definitely. Yeah. Yeah,
if
y'all doing stuff, man, just let me know. I'm here for y'all. I'm here.
Okay, Freeland, I appreciate it, Mr. I'm going to mention that it's a flyer floating around. There's currently been another flyer floating around a lot. You have mentioned it takes place 25th and 27th, Birmingham, Alabama, right now. You know, if you get your hands on the flyer, I would like for you to you know what I'm saying, flood your networks and educate people about it. And also educate people about our website as well, as much as possible. You know, and also at this time, can you give your final thoughts. You're going to leave any kind of contact information, leave any kind of website, you're going to leave a kind of phrase or poll, whatever. You know, give us your final thoughts.
Yeah, definitely. You can follow me on Instagram at Manolo, M-A-N-O-L-O _ Rose, R-O-S-E, on Facebook, no _, Manolo Rose, no _. You can also, and pretty much just that, just stay the course, man. Stay the course, keep fighting the struggle, got to just continue and live on. Make sure you pass this information on as much as possible, myself included, to your children, to your people around you, to your friends, and so on and so on. So I just wanna say just that, and free to land.
Right, me and Mr. Akin, what are your final thoughts?
My final thoughts are, I think this was a great show. Again, appreciate the brother for being able to give his time. I really do appreciate the jewels that he dropped. And just look forward to putting in some work together and maneuvering through this this world that we're living in now, so we can be more self-sufficient for our new African brothers and sisters, and get about this work. Pretty lame.
I mean, yes, sir. My final thoughts is, if you're trying to get in touch with the Prison Republic of Africa, you know, so you can go onto our website, which is at www.pg-rna.com. Upon going on our website,
You create a profile, sign in, and get access to our material. And also, like Minister Akin was saying, we're going to have a digital newsletter we're going to be sending out to people that will sign up on the website, whether other people are interested. And another thing is that we have a Facebook page called Republic of Africa. We have an Instagram page called PG-Republic of Africa. And we have a Twitter page called Green Republic of Africa. And we also have various groups on Facebook, geared toward New Africa Independent, like New Africa Independent Movement Group, New Africa Information Movement, and so forth and so on. And also, we have New Africa Nation Day coming up. And you can go on Eventbrite. Let me tell you the information. Let me tell you the information. I'll be accurate. The information on Eventbrite is www.eventbrite.com/e/new-african-nation-day-ticket-1900217-4917. And also for the ones who were seeking to buy tickets, this year was in Goma. We have an early bird special that expires February 21st. Again, long live New African Movement, and long live Green Republic Africa. Real land.